WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
John Sayles is not cut from Hollywood cloth. He writes and directs his own screenplays, works with a relatively small budget, and usually plays a bit part himself. His films include The Return of the Secaucus 7, Brother from Another Planet, and Meet One. Film critic Stephen Schiff has a review of Sayles' latest, Eight Men Out.
Ever since I was a little kid, I've longed to see a movie about the Black Sox scandal of 1919. To an American youngster, it seemed unbelievable that eight members of the Chicago White Sox could actually have managed to throw the World Series. But in fact, corruption ran rampant in baseball during the early part of the century. The Black Sox scandal was what brought the need for regulation into the public eye. It's a fascinating story, and the writer-director John Sayles knows it. 11 years ago, he wrote the screenplay for Eight Men Out as his audition script to get screenwriting jobs. And as its first half hour unfolds, you can feel the gusto and imagination that went into it. In one long, brilliantly lucid sequence, Sayles introduces a galaxy of personalities, good ballplayers and bad, journalists, gamblers, big time and penny ante, and the skinflint team owner, Charles Comiskey. That sequence, unfortunately, is the movie's last spark of life. Sayles has chosen to make Eight Men Out a juiceless and didactic Marxist demonstration. According to him, the eight ballplayers who collaborated to let the Cincinnati Reds win the series were ordinary Joes trapped in a hopeless system. They had no union, they had no future, they were paid the worst wages in the league, and their boss, Comiskey, well, here's how he treated his best pitcher.
You said if I won 30 games this year, there'd be a $10,000 bonus.
So?
I think you owe it to me.
Harry, how many games did Mr. Seacott win for us this year?
29, sir.
You had Kid bench me for 2 whole weeks in August. I missed 5 starts.
We had to rest your arm for the series.
I would have won at least 2 of those games. You knew that.
I have to keep the best interests of the club in mind, Eddie.
I think you owe me that bonus.
29 is not 30, Eddie. You will get only the money you deserve.
Now, I buy Sayles' political theory of the scandal, hook, line, and sinker. What I don't buy is the way he makes his movie feel like an argument instead of a story. Although there are good actors and good performances everywhere you look, especially David Strathairn as that ace pitcher, Sayles makes the characters strangely bloodless. Again and again we see gamblers approach players, but since we scarcely know any of them, all we get are the mechanisms of corruption, not the drama. Sayles sticks little moral indicators everywhere to tell us what to think. Long-suffering wives who suffer even more as their hubbies blow the game. Even Sayles' period trappings seem stiff and inorganic, from the ragtime music on the soundtrack to the flavor of the dialogue, which swings wildly between a satisfying complexity and the sort of Cracker Barrel wisdom you'd expect to find in a 30s radio play. And though much of what Sayles wants to demonstrate is how feckless these schemers and dreamers were, what should be a comedy of errors becomes merely confusing. Sayles first came to moviegoers' attention as the writer of garbagey films like Piranha and Alligator, which he redeemed with his unusually witty dialogue. Now that he's become the lofty writer-director of his own dream projects, all that subversive wit has given way to a deadly message-mongering earnestness that I find pretty unbecoming. Sayles could use a strong injection of the old commercial trash sensibility he's escaped from. Maybe he should even take a lesson from his ballplayers. Maybe. Just a little bit. John Sayles ought to sell out.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for Vanity Fair and is a contributing correspondent to West 57.